to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
You know, we celebrate many things. Some things we look forward to with excitement. Holidays, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving. In the church world, we look forward to Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've got your own personal holidays, maybe some cultural holidays. But we celebrate holidays. We celebrate anniversaries. Next year, my wife and I will be celebrating 40 years of marriage. And looking forward to that great milestone. Not quite to that 50. It'll be a little while for that, but we're looking forward to that. Some things we look forward to, not with celebration, but with dread. And that just depends on the person and where they are in life. How many of you look forward to your next birthday? About half. How many of you dread your birthdays when they come around now? Anybody want to be willing to admit it? No, not really. Oh, a couple. You know, especially when we hit one of those milestones, you know, I almost said the first time you turn 30, but you're only going to do it once. So, you know, when you turn 30, you know, some of us are so far beyond us, look back at 30, it's like, big deal, you know. But when you've just first approached 30, it's like 30, that's, man, 40, 50, 60, you know, whatever that might be. Well, as was announced a little while ago, I had my birthday this last week on Wednesday. And by the way, thank you so much. So many of you called me, texted me, put things on Facebook, gave cards, whatever, gifts. Thank you so much for helping me celebrate. But this last Wednesday was one of those milestones for me. I turned 60. 60. And, you know, leading up to it, I thought, what's that going to feel like? You know, every time I approached one of the other decades, you know, 30, 40, 50, you know, 50 is a big deal. And you all helped me celebrate my 50th 10 years ago. Wow. Anyway, and it to me, it's just another year, another day. And that's kind of how it was last Wednesday for my 60th birthday. I had a really good day. I came in the office, did a little bit of stuff, and we had some friends that we went out to eat and came back to the house, played some games. And I thought, well, I'm 60, had fun. And it was, then Thursday morning, I woke up and I'm laying in bed and I thought, I'm 60. Now, it wasn't a negative thing. It was just a strange thing. You know, what was it going to be like when I turned 60? But anyway, it passed quickly. It's no big deal. But anyway, it was my 60th birthday last week. Why am I emphasizing that? It's not so much about my physical birthday as the way that my life has developed. And that is that last Wednesday was also my spiritual birthday. I've told the testimony many times, so I won't lengthen it, but I was 10 years old when my mom shared the gospel with me, and it became clear in my mind, and the Holy Spirit worked in my heart that I needed a Savior. I realized that I was a sinner. Now, I wasn't a bad boy. You can ask my mom. I tried to be a good boy. But that's the way it works. So when the Holy Spirit works on your heart, you know that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. And I remember kneeling on the floor in my parents' bedroom and asking Christ to be my Savior. And it was in the summertime of when I was 10 years old. And you know, for a 10-year-old boy in the summertime, every day is the same. So I have no idea what day it was. So 40 or so years ago, I just decided, you know, I'm going to celebrate my spiritual birthday on my regular birthday, because it was right about that time. So since last Wednesday, I turned 60 years old physically. Last Wednesday, I turned 50 years old spiritually. I've had the privilege of knowing the Lord for 50 years now. And I wanted to focus on that today. I've had the privilege of serving Him for all 50 years, and I was one of those who, as I pursued my walk with the Lord, I didn't divert from, you know, to one side or the other as many people do. And that's no glory to me. It's just God's goodness and His faithfulness. And I thought, what have I learned in 50 years of serving God? 50 years of trying to pursue what He has for me. And can I just add that I have absolutely no regrets. I'm not sorry that I didn't take a side path. I'm not sorry that I didn't get involved in this, that, or the other. No regrets at all. But I can tell you that it's not been trouble-free. You know, I've had my ups and downs. I've had my struggles. I have had difficulties along the way. I've faced my temptations. There have been some rough patches in life because that's the way life is. And I certainly haven't arrived yet. You know, I can really relate to Paul as he expressed in Philippians 3, 10 to 14. I'm not going to read it, but basically he's looking back at his life. You know, he persecuted God's people, the church. I mean, he was a devout Jew, a devout believer and server of God, but he didn't recognize Jesus as the Messiah. So he persecuted the church until Jesus got a hold of his life, and then he became a powerful, passionate missionary evangelist and took the gospel all over the world. And at that point in his life in Philippians, he's looking back at a number of years of ministry after having persecuted the church, and he's just sharing his heart, and he says, listen, my greatest desire is to know Jesus Christ. And if you read it in context, he says, even when it means suffering, I'm willing to do that. I want to know Christ. I want to know him better. I want to grow in that relationship. And I've made some progress, but I'm not there yet. So I keep pressing on. In fact, that's the way he puts it. I keep pressing on for everything God has for me. And I can relate to that. I can relate to that. I want to know Christ better. I'm not there yet. But my plan, my desire, my goal is to keep pressing on until God takes us out of this place. Again, this is nothing I'm going to share with you today is to my credit at all. It's all because of God, and that's what I want to focus on. God is faithful. And that's the title of my message that I want to share with you today. God is faithful. And I want to be very quick to tell you here at the beginning that he's not only been faithful to me, but he is faithful to every single person who pursues him. He is faithful to every single person who puts their trust in him. And many of you, most of you probably have experienced that. But I want to talk about six different areas in which I've seen God prove faithful over 50 years of having the privilege of knowing him. The text I told you I was going to read from was Psalm 89, verse 1. It says, I will sing. Now, I'm not going to sing this, so don't worry, okay? I'm just going to talk. But the psalmist says, I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. I remember so many years reading that verse. I have been young. I think I'm still young. It's kind of different being in the other category now. Now I'm in the old side, but I can confess, just like the psalmist says, that I have never seen the righteous forsaken. So what is it that I've learned about God's faithfulness in 50 years? The first one is this: God is faithful to forgive. God is faithful to forgive. And I'm going to give you a verse for each one of these, a promise that we can cling to experience God's faithfulness. And this is one of my favorite promises. I've mentioned this many times. The reason it's one of my favorites is because, unfortunately, I've had to use it all too many times. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I shared with you about how I first committed my life to Christ when I was 10 years old there in my parents' bedroom. But I just want to tell you, I was so concerned that I could keep my relationship with God the way it was supposed to be, I got resaved every night. Any of you been there? Yeah, I see some other hands. Yeah. You know, I was new in this relationship. I didn't know a lot about the Bible at the time, although I began to just devour it. I love to read anyway. I just read God's word and that kind of thing. But I didn't understand all the principles, and I didn't understand the whole thing about, you know, the security of the relationship we have with God and all that kind of stuff. And I would go to bed at night, and I would be concerned. I thought, did I do anything that wasn't right? Did I say anything? Did I do anything? Because I don't want to go to sleep, and if Jesus comes back before I wake up, or by some chance I die, I'm only 10 years old, you know, I don't want to miss going to heaven. So every night I'd get saved again. I'd say, God, I'm a sinner. Would you please forgive me? And if I was aware of something I'd said or something I'd done to a brother or my sister or something, I would confess it and repent. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, that should be the way we live. If we can become aware of something that's wrong, that's not right with God, we need to confess. We need to repent. But I mean, there were so many nights I didn't even think of it, couldn't even think of anything, you know, that I might have done wrong. But I was so concerned. But you know what? God is faithful to forgive whenever we need forgiveness. Can I tell you, there is nothing that God can't forgive or won't forgive. God will forgive anything. God will forgive every time. If. You see, there is a condition. I believe the condition, if I were to just put it in a phrase, is we need to mean business. You know, the promise I made to you is a tremendous promise. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And realize it's not because we are doing more good than bad. It's all because of what Jesus did for us. He says, if we confess our sins. What does it mean to confess? Well, just basically it means to tell the truth. You know, somebody does something wrong, say, just confess, you know, tell the truth. And so in this context, it means we tell the truth about sin. We tell the truth in the sense of we say, I know that that was sin. I confess that that was sin in God's standard and the way God looks. And I also confess that I did it. The word's not used in this verse, but it's used in many other. And the principle is there. It also involves repentance. And repentance means that we confess that sin and that it is sin and we're sorry for that sin. And repentance means that we not only recognize we did wrong, but we don't want to do it anymore. The idea of repentance has the concept of going one direction and you realize it's the wrong direction. So you stop, you turn around and you go the other direction. So when I say God will forgive anything and He will forgive every time, it's if we're willing to recognize that it is sin, that we have committed it, and we are sorry, and we want to stop. Now, I'll be the first one to say there are many things that we can get ourselves involved in our lives that become rooted in us. We become bound by them, habits, bondages. And I've heard so many testimonies of people that were in bondage to drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever, and they get saved, and God delivers them like that. God can. And we should pray for that. But I've also heard many testimonies of people that even after they're saved, they have a different outlook on life. They don't want to go there anymore, but they fall into temptation. They struggle. It's a big deal for them to have victory. And along the way, they may stumble a number of times, not to excuse it. But the good news is that if our heart is that, God, I want to live by your standard of righteousness, that whenever we fall, if we come to God, confessing our sins and repenting, God is faithful to forgive. God is faithful to forgive. And before I go on to the second one, let me just ask today, do you need forgiveness today? You know, I really emphasize this whole thing of God will always forgive anytime, every time, if we're truly serious about it, because sometimes people feel like I've gone too far. You know, I've come to God so many times about this issue. And he's probably given up on me by now. God never gives up. God never gives up. I know there's that whole thing in the Bible about, you know, when Jesus said God will forgive anything and everything except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the devil likes to use that concept in people's lives to say, well, you've committed that, so don't even bother going to God because he won't forgive you. You've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you what my opinion of that is, and it's not just my opinion, it's based on a lot of study and what most Bible scholars believe, because it is a little bit of a vague term. What is one of the responsibilities or roles of the Holy Spirit in our life? It is to convict us of sin. My understanding of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the rejecting of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives as He convicts us of sin. And if we do that, then we never confess. And if we never confess, we never repent, we never receive forgiveness because we never ask for it. I've heard it said many times, and I believe the same thing. If somebody's concerned about whether they committed this unpardonable sin of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, then they probably haven't committed it because they wouldn't care. my perspective, my 2 cents worth. But I really want to emphasize this today in case there are any of you, maybe somebody that's watching this live or watching the video later, that you've been sitting there saying, well, that's great for you, Pastor Tim. You know, you say God will forgive, and I understand that, but I've gone too far. It's too late for me. I've taken too many steps. I want to tell you something. If you turn to God, He will forgive. He will forgive. And if you've never taken that first step, I challenge you and encourage you today, because He will forgive and we need to be forgiven. The Bible makes it very clear that we are all sinners separated from God. Even as a 10-year-old boy, when maybe the worst sin I ever committed was telling a lie or taking a cookie when I shouldn't have or something like that, my sin still separated me from God, and I realized that. And the wages of sin is death, which the final part of that in this life is physical death, but even more significant is spiritual death, which is eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus came, was to die on the cross, to pay the price for our sins. And if we put our trust in Him and what He did instead of ourselves, we confess our sins, we repent, we ask God to forgive us because of what Jesus did, He will forgive. And the Bible says we become new creation. And His Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us to help us begin to live that life that we should live and just continue to grow closer to Him. So I challenge you, if you've not yet done that, to surrender your life to Christ. So God is faithful to forgive. The second thing is God is faithful to provide. God is faithful to provide. Provide what? Provide whatever we need. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus concludes this discussion about people being worried about their needs being met. Shelter, food, clothing, all this kind of stuff. And Jesus says, listen, God takes care of the birds. He takes care of the flowers. Don't you think He's going to take better care of His children? And He wraps it up in verse 33 of Matthew 6 saying, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, what are these all things, all these things? Some people would love to run with the idea of everything I want. And you can find a bunch of off-the-wall teaching out there saying you can have whatever you want from God as long as you claim the right promises and do it in the right way and you hold God to it and this, that, and the other. And we won't even dig into the depths of how that's skewed. But this particular verse and other verses in Scripture talk about how God is always ready, willing, and able to meet our needs. And there are those that go on to say God wants to bless us too, but we don't get to dictate what those blessings are. We can ask for anything, but it's up to God. But God is faithful to provide what we need. Again, in context, when He says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things, that these things are our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God may not give us everything we want, but He will give us everything we need. Now, we as human beings have a hard time separating those two things. Say, but I need the newest, latest, greatest iPhone. But I need that particular car. Well, that may be true or may not be true. But in God's perspective, He'll provide all of our needs. And you know, I can see over 50 years, God doing that consistently. For me personally, but we've been married, as I said, almost 40 years together as a couple, God has met every single one of our needs. Now, that doesn't mean it's been nice and easy and, oh, well, you know, Pastor Jan gave her heart to the Lord when she was a child too. And so God's got special blessings on you. So you must have just been able to float through life and all that. No. We've had our hard times. When we first got married, I was still in Bible college. I had a year left and we were living on campus and it was tight. It was tight. Now, our parents wouldn't have let us sink. But they were good parents. They were letting us live our own life and making our own way. We were both working part-time on campus. I think she was working full-time. I was working part-time because I was still in school. And it was just barely enough money to cover our basic needs. And sometimes it wasn't even quite enough money to meet our needs. I've shared some testimonies before. It just amazes me. There were times that we would come home. And we never made a big deal of it. We never said anything to anybody, but there were a couple times we'd come home to our little duplex on campus and there'd be a bag of groceries on the porch. You know, somebody just wanted to bless us. One time that really kind of freaked us out, there was a bag of groceries on our table. inside the house. But we were living on campus, and the custodial crew had keys. I don't know. But anyway, and by the way, our table was a card table. That was one of the first major furniture investments we made after we got married. We bought a card table. You know, the legs folded down, and they would snap up and stay in place. You know, we had two, or do we have one folding? No, we had two folding chairs. And when we first got married, the only other seat in the house was the one in that little room with the sink and the tub and all that kind of stuff. When we first got married, we didn't have a bed for the first, I don't know, week or so. We slept on the floor with all the comforters we got as wedding presents. There were a couple of them. That was it. No furniture in the living room. One day we came home, and we didn't have no way to buy any. One day we came home, and our house was full of furniture. Not expensive furniture. But as I said, my wife worked for the custodial crew, and they'd heard we didn't have any furniture, so they got some out of storage, and they put a bed in our house, and they put in a couch and a love seat, and, you know, so we had a little bit of furniture. God has always provided for our needs. I remember one time when my wife was pregnant. She got pregnant a couple months after we got married, and she was so craving a Coke, you know. And we searched the house for spare change. And this is back when you could buy one for probably a quarter, you know. And we searched the house, like pockets and purses, and we scraped together enough change to buy her a Coke. And she opened it up and she drank it. And she only drank a couple sips. She wanted to make it last. And she made it last over 3 or 4 days. And you know what? God kept it from going flat. He really did. Seriously. It's a silly little thing, but he did that. And that's just an example of God providing a blessing above your needs. But, you know, God has always provided everything we've needed. We've been through times when things were really tight. We've been through times when they weren't so tight. But I can tell you that another aspect of that is that we have always said, God, our finances are your finances. And we want to treat our finances the way you want us to treat our finances. And so even as children, our first jobs, and from the time of, we paid our tithes to God's work. Even during the tough times when we didn't quite have enough money, when we got paid, the tithes came out first. What was given to God was given to God first. And there were times we'd go to the mailbox and somebody had sent us a check. They had no idea that it was going to be a rough week or a tough month. We always said, God, you're going to be first. And you know, since then, God has so blessed and given us the privilege not only to keep up that habit, but to give to missions and to give to other ministries. And I'm not saying that we've earned or deserve any blessings that we've gotten, but God does work that way when you are faithful to put him first. Put first his kingdom. See, that's the condition there. There's a condition for God to meet your needs. He says, seek first his kingdom. When you surrender yourself, your finances, everything about yourself to the Lord, say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. God's going to take care of every one of your needs. He will. He will. Seek him first. And as I said, God even goes beyond that to give us a lot of our desires and that kind of stuff. You know, I was going to say we're not rich, but you hear me preach all the time. Every single one of us is rich compared to most of the rest of the world. But compared to the rest of our society, we're not rich, but we're very comfortable. God's been good to us. Are there other things we'd love to have? Sure. But we've learned to say, God, if you want us to have that, it's in your timing. It's in your timing. But God has blessed us so much better than we deserve. So God is faithful to provide. The third thing is God is faithful to answer prayer. God is faithful to answer prayer. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him." I want to make a statement that I believe and know to be true 100%, and that is that God has answered every prayer I have prayed in the last 50 years. No exception. But he didn't always say yes. Say, off. Well, you're fudging. No. If you're a parent, did you say yes to your kids to everything they asked of you? If you did, you might be reaping some consequences of that. Do you do that as grandparents? No. When we're a person in position of authority and responsibility, whether it's in the home or the workplace or whatever, part of that authority is to be used for the responsibility of doing what's best for the situation, for the people involved. And you talk about family, for our kids, in our marriage, in our home, the decision isn't just what I want or what they ask or demand, but it's what's best. And God is a good, good Father. So when we come to Him and we ask Him for things, sometimes He's going to say yes. Sometimes He's going to say no. Sometimes He's going to say, that's a good idea, but later. Sometimes He's going to say, yes, I want that for you, but you've got to grow in this area a little bit or do something else. Or maybe there's something you got to do first so that God will do that because that's the way it works. Or that's what's going to be what's best for you. But I can tell you, God has answered every prayer I've prayed for the last 50 years, and looking back to those that I can see, the results, it's always been for the best. There were times I prayed for things and God said no, and I was disappointed, and I was frustrated. But now I look back and I say, God, I'm so glad you said no. There were some prayers I prayed that if God hadn't said no, I might not be married to my wife. And I will unashamedly say, as I've said many times before, that she is the best gift God has ever given to me except for salvation. But there are some prayers I prayed along the way, dating, college, everything else. If God hadn't said no, we wouldn't be married. There are some prayers I pray that if God hadn't said no, we wouldn't be the pastors of this church. There are various times in our ministry it was time for a change, time for a move. And we would pray and it would look like a door was opening and it's like, oh God, that looks so great. And we'd pray and pray and pray, anticipating that's where we're going to go. And God would shut that door, send us someplace else. The story of our coming here is filled with some things like that on our end and on the church's end too. I'm so glad that sometimes God says no. It can be frustrating, it can be aggravating, it can be disappointing, but we've just got to trust that God really does want what's best for us. These prayers that God has answered, some were very simple, some were miraculous. I've prayed prayers for healing when God healed me or someone else, and times I've prayed for healing and God took His time because God has His plans. I've prayed for God's provision. I've already shared sometimes God's always provided. I've prayed for our ministry through the years and seen God involved in all the things He did. I've prayed for wisdom. There's many times I know that God has given me wisdom that I didn't have. He's led me to say or do something that I wouldn't have thought of on my own. But again, there is a condition to this promise. People love to quote this, you know, if we ask anything, He hears us. And there's another one, two or three are gathered in mind, you know, two or three agree together. Yes, get somebody else to agree that you do deserve that Cadillac and God will give it to you or whatever it might be. But I don't know if you've noticed, it's stated in some promises, but it's always there. It must be according to His will. And can I tell you that God's will for you is much better than your will for yourself? That's where we got to learn to trust Him. And I've found that He is trustworthy. I've found that He is faithful. We need to pray what God lays on our heart. I say it many times in prayer and in instructions. Pray for whatever you want. Now, don't pray for something, you know, sinful. But whatever need is in your life, you know how you want God to answer it. Go ahead and ask Him for it. But hold on to it loosely and say, God, this is what I want. But God, You know what's best. Your will be done. You know, even Jesus, God Himself, in the flesh, prayed that way. You know the story of the Garden of Gethsemane, the time that God said no to Jesus. You ever thought of it that way? Jesus is praying and saying, God, I know what's coming. If there's any other way, let's go that way. And God's answer to that prayer was no. But Jesus also prayed, Lord, but not my will, but Yours be done. And He prayed it three times. Three, sincere, seeking God, please, may it be something different. And God said no, because that was the plan. That was what was going to bring about the result that needed to come. And Jesus yielded to that, went to the cross, but He prayed it. What if we don't know His will? As I just said, what I encourage you to do is pray. As long as you know it's not sin or whatever, just pray, God, this is what I'd like. But God, Your will be done. You know what's best. And give me the faith to believe that whatever comes about as a result of my prayer and whatever I'm supposed to do about it, that it's all going to work out. So God has been faithful and is faithful to answer prayer. The fourth one is this: God is faithful to lead. To lead. In other words, we need direction. We need wisdom. God is faithful to give it to us. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths, or he will direct your paths. Can I tell you what? As I have gone through life, my path has been all over the place. You know, I was at home, finished out school. I had the privilege of leaving public school and go to a Christian school, which is something I really wanted to do, and I enjoyed that. Went off to Bible college, and I didn't know where I was supposed to go, and I prayed about it, and I went on a college days trip to Springfield, Missouri, and visited Central Bible College and Evangel College, which is now Evangel University, and there were other opportunities that were presented to me. But can I tell you, as I prayed about it, as soon as I stepped foot on Central Bible College campus and went through that weekend, there was not a doubt in my mind that was where God wanted me to go. God had led me there. Got married. We've been involved in youth ministry at three different churches. And at some point, I'd planned to go back to graduate school, and I didn't know when. And there were a couple times I wanted to go. I was ready to go, and God said, not yet, not yet. And then we were in a position, we were very happy, things were going good, and God said, now's the time. We went back to Springfield, Missouri, and went to Assemblies of God Theological Seminary, praying, God, what do you want to do? My original goal was to be a teacher in a Bible college. I never planned to be a senior pastor. God led me away from that plan to the plan of being a pastor. I've loved being a pastor here and in other places. From place to place, God has led, and not just where I ended up, but in various things in my life. And as I prayed about God's wisdom and about these decisions, sometimes it was so clear, and other times it was kind of murky, and I had to really pray and really pay attention. But God was always faithful to reveal what I needed to know at the time. And there were times he would tell me about a particular direction. I really liked it. And other times he says, you need to go this direction. It's like, God, I'd rather go over there. But again, it was one of those times he said, no, this is what's best. But God has always been faithful to lead. And usually God leads one step at a time. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wish God would show me a little bit more down the road in the future. Has that ever been true for you? Yeah, it's been true, especially when we're in a time of change. It's like, God, we really would like to know where you want us to go. But God's timing is perfect. I'll be honest with you. I think most of the time God doesn't reveal any more to us about what's going to happen down the road because it would scare us to death. I tell you what, if I knew ahead of time some of the stuff that we were going to be going through, I'd be like, God, I think I want to ditch out right now. let's go a different path. I'd be like Jesus in the garden. Lord, no, we don't want to do that. But I can also say that on this side of it, I look back and I'd say, God used that in my life, and God used that in our lives and our ministry to bring about good and to mold us and shape us into the people we are today. But God is faithful to lead. But again, there's a condition. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. That doesn't mean we throw out our knowledge, our intelligence, the wisdom we already have. God gave them to us. Common sense too. Each of us have different amounts of common sense. But what this is saying is that if in your wisdom, in your knowledge, in your understanding, in your common sense, you think you should go here, but God says go here, put your trust in God. He's a little more trustworthy than your knowledge, your wisdom, and your common sense. But we put our trust in God, he is faithful to lead. He is faithful to lead. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. He says, you want to find out the path God has for you? Surrender yourself. Say, God, here I am. Just show me where to go, that's where I'm going to go. Show me what to say, that's what I'm going to say. Show me what to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm surrendered. Here I am. I'm a living sacrifice. And his word says he will make it very clear. Maybe not at the exact moment you want to know, but he will make it very clear the direction you need to go. And today I'd say, if you need guidance, if you need wisdom, seek God. God will give it. The question is, will you listen and will you obey? The fifth one, God is faithful to discipline. I also put the word there, teach. Discipline has a negative connotation because we think of punishment, and it can include punishment. But discipline means training. It means when you're going off the path, you're getting back on the path. And God has been faithful to discipline. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 to 11, it talks about how God is a good parent. And good parents discipline their children for their own good. And he says, God will do that for you. Sometimes it is because of sin. And there's that discipline, that the consequences that come, the things to say, hey, listen, you're headed the wrong way. You better get back on the right path. Sometimes it has nothing to do with sin. But God will let us go through difficult times to train us, to mature us, to strengthen us. And God has been faithful and is faithful to discipline. When we go through those difficult times, whether they're consequences of our sin or just those time that God allows us to go through, the difficulties because he wants to do a work in our lives, we have a choice. Are we going to grow or are we going to get frustrated and bitter and kick against God's leading? It's a lot easier to just say, God, I don't know what you're trying to teach me, but show me. I've said that many times. When you're going through a rough time, say, God, deliver me. But Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Because if he's trying to teach you something, you know, if you learn it, maybe he'll let you out of it. You know? There have been many, I shouldn't say many, there have been several difficult times in these 50 years. When I went to graduate school, I loved the work I did, the study I did, but it was a tough 3 years. I was going to school full time. I was working almost full time. Pastor Jan was working full time. We had two girls in elementary school. The school load was fantastic for learning, but it was horrendous for the amount of work to be done. And it was a rough 3 years, but God took us through. It's a training time. There have been other times in ministry, other times in our personal life that were difficult for various reasons, but God has used them to mold us and to shape us and to use it to discipline us in a good way, to train us. We stand on the promise of God in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation, and that word can also mean trial. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted or tested beyond your ability. But with that temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. I just want to tell you today that maybe this is the part you need to really hear today. God is at work in your situation. Maybe you're facing a tough time. God is at work. Seek him about it. Ask him what he's trying to do. Find out what you need to do to cooperate with his purposes. And God will use it to strengthen you and to help you further down the path that he has for you. The last one, number 6. God is faithful to treat me better than I deserve. God is faithful to treat me better than I deserve. Psalm 103, verses 8 to 13. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Can I tell you something? We don't deserve anything from God. I don't deserve anything from God. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and because of God's mercy, and because of God's grace, I have experienced the privilege of having a relationship with God and the blessings that he brings. But I don't deserve a bit of it. And neither do you. In fact, the only thing we deserve from God is hell. That's what we deserve. We don't like to admit that. I'm not that bad of a person, but our sins cut us off from God, and without Christ, we all deserve and are headed to an eternal separation from God, which is what hell is, a separation from God and all that is good. I've had so many blessings in my life, and I will be the first one to admit that I've been very privileged. Not because of anything I did to deserve it or earn it. When I was growing up, I had the privilege of growing up in a home where my parents loved each other dearly, and they still do after almost 60 years of marriage. Maybe it is 60 years now. I think maybe. 60 what? 60 plus. one of five children. We had our issues, but we basically had a happy family. We weren't rich. About once a week, we had pancakes for supper. Of course, we love that. One of our favorite meals is my mom would get a big old can of SpaghettiOs and chop up a can of Spam, which at that time, that was like cheap, cheap, cheap. Now it's a gourmet delicacy. But anyway, throw it all together and heat it up. I remember when the seven of us would sit down and we'd have a can of biscuits. There's 10 biscuits in a can. I don't mean these big old fluffy ones, the little ones. And so when there's seven people and 10 biscuits, everybody gets one, and then six people get a half of one. We had to decide who was the one that wasn't going to get the extra half. But you know what? We had a happy home. And again, I don't know why God allowed me to live in such an environment. I grew up thinking that was normal. Obviously, through the years of ministry, I found out that that's not necessarily normal for a lot of people. God has blessed me so much with loving parents, with my wife. I've already talked about that. Our daughter Misty and our granddaughters, our daughter Bethany. The places He sent us in ministry, being here, I don't deserve any of it. But God's been faithful to treat me better than I deserve. I'm so thankful today. So how do we experience God's faithfulness? I've talked to you about these promises having some conditions, but let me just tell you the key to experiencing God's faithfulness is to walk with Him every day. To walk with Him every day. Spend time in His Word, prayer, living a life of obedience, saying, God, here I am, and I want to live the way You want me to. And you don't do it perfectly, but you keep getting back on the right path. You make those day-by-day choices. Can I tell you that experiencing God's faithfulness and a walk with God is not dependent on these exciting emotional experiences? And I want to tell you something, I'm not against exciting emotional experiences. Love it when you're in a situation by yourself, small group, big service like this, and God is moving. You sense His presence, and you're just spirit, just like, oh, Lord, wonderful experience. Times perhaps of fresh commitment at a retreat or a convention or a regular service, whatever. Those emotional experiences are a part of our walk. They're a very important part of our walk, but they're not significant over the long haul walking with God. They're not the most significant. The most significant thing is walking with Him consistently every day. There's an old saying I've told you before. It's not how high you jump. It's how straight you walk when you hit the ground. Thank God for the times we feel like jumping high. But God, help us to walk straight. You know, if you live your life going from one emotional high to another, it's sort of like eating at a buffet once every 2 weeks and fasting in between. You can't live that way. That's a whole nother message. Another piece of advice is when you feel like giving up, don't. When you feel like giving up, don't. I still fall short. I just get back up. I can honestly say I've never felt like giving up on God. There's a couple of times earlier in my ministry I felt like giving up on ministry. It's been a couple of times it's like, God, I really wish I could have a change. None recently, don't get worried. But I never gave up. And when I made a mistake, I'd get back up. So the last thing I want to tell you is God is always faithful. The question is, will we be faithful? I'm going to talk for a second to the young people that are here. So thankful for you. And I tell you something, now is the time. So thankful for our young people that what I know of them, the ones that are here today, that they love the Lord and their desire is to serve Him with all their heart. And I pray for you all the time that you will keep that passion, that you will keep that surrender. And I challenge you and encourage you today to do that. You're going to face so much, especially as you head off to college. You're going to come up with ideas and thoughts that maybe you've never had before. There's going to be so many forces coming against you to pull you away, to push you away from the Lord and your walk with God. I say, don't give up. God is worth serving, and He is faithful. I pray that someday you can get where I am now, be a long while, and say, I have no regrets about living for Jesus Christ. But some of the rest of you might say, it's too late for me. Say, Pastor, that's great for you. You gave your heart to the Lord when you were 10, and you didn't walk away from that, you know, in any significant way. But I've had a totally different type of life. I want to tell you something. The Bible is full of stories of people that blew it big time. The Apostle Paul, David, Peter, men that God used in powerful ways. It is never too late. Wherever you are in your walk, your life, today you can make a new commitment. God, I'm going to serve you faithfully from this point on, and you will experience God's faithfulness in your life. You may still have consequences you have to live with from stuff that you did whenever it was, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, but God will be faithful to you. So why did I preach this message? At this very important part in my life, I wanted to give glory to God because it's all about Him. I hope that my story and stories will maybe help increase your faith to believe God for whatever it is that you need, whatever's going on in your life. I hope it will encourage you to persevere in seeking Him and living for Him. And if you don't know Him, perhaps it will cause you to call on Him. Let's all stand together. We're going to close in prayer. I'm going to do as I've done many times through this time of being separated and such, and there's so many people that are watching this online now or later, and there very well could be those who are watching it that you've never committed your life to Christ, and I want to lead you, I want to lead us in a prayer to commit our lives to Christ. And if you're here today, you've never done that, I encourage you to pray something like this with all your heart, and then when I'm done doing that, I'm going to pray for all of us that God will help us to live for Him and experience His faithfulness. So first of all, if you need a relationship with God, would you pray something like this? God, I come to you today and I recognize that I am a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins. I repent. I don't want to live this way anymore. I pray that you would forgive me, not because I can be good enough, not because I deserve it, not because I can earn it, but because Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. I place my faith, my trust in Him. The one who came, who died, was buried, and rose again to new life so that I can have new life. Lord, I want that new life. So please forgive me. Come dwell within me and live your life through me. And I thank you for that, Jesus. God, I just come to you right now and I just pray that you would use my words today. You know my heart. I don't want it to in any way lift me up, but to lift you up. I pray that you'd be glorified, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness through 50 years. God, you blessed me so much. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray that you would help us, help me. Lord, life's not over. I could still blow it. That'd be the worst thing I'd ever want to have happen, Lord. Help me to be faithful to you. I thank you, you will always be faithful to me. Help each of us, Lord, as we make a decision or a commitment today, Lord God, whatever that amounts to live for you, to love you, to serve you, to seek you. Father, I thank you and I praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.